and they'll get me adjusted. I have to get adjusted every service because there's a difference between singing speakers and preaching speakers. So just a little bit down on the monitors, and that way we won't be blowing everybody out. And then that way I won't have to scream my voice out either. Amen. Somebody says, why do you preach like you preach? Jeremiah said, I wasn't going to preach no more. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not going to say nothing else to nobody about it, God. Jeremiah went on a few more days, and guess what happened? God began to deal with him. He began to think about God. He began to think about the goodness of God, and he began to think about the call of God. He said, you know what? I might need to say something about this. He said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. If you ain't never preached, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever preached, I'm telling you, it'll build in you. It'll build. It'll build. I don't even like missing a service to not preach because you sort of get out of rhythm. And I know me well enough to know I like it when I kindly stay in a rhythm. Not only a rhythm here, but a rhythm of study and a rhythm of doing the things I do. Long before I ever show up here, there's a lot of preparation that goes on behind the scenes. We have had a very, very busy week with a lot of things going on around us. I left here today and immediately went and had a meeting with another pastor on our district and the Denton Church. I'll tell you where it was. Had to go down there and ate lunch with them. And then we went on down to the properties and had to look at some property down there and some things we're working on as a DO. Not only do I do what I do here, but just a few weeks ago, we got Brother James stabilized over at Sophia, and he's now the full-time pastor over there. He went in as an intern, and the people went ahead and wanted him there for the pastor full-time. So we got Brother James in over there, and there's always things on the district to do that people don't ever really know about what's going on behind the scenes. Now, I left a bottle of water back here, and I'm going to have to walk back here and get it. For some reason, I don't know why, and Amy back there on the back row, she's a nurse, and she'd have to tell me, but when you take allergy medicine, it has a tendency to dry you out. I don't know why, but it does. So I'm taking some seasonal allergy medicine, and it's got me just as dry as a pumpkin, so y'all have to forgive me. So if you see me drinking water tonight, forgive me ahead of time. When I got done preaching this morning, I mean, it was like I had cotton balls in my mouth. And it was like I couldn't even hardly open my mouth. I was so dry. Turn your Bible with me into the book of Matthew, chapter 22. I'm going to read several verses as we get started. But before we get started, I want to read. Let me get out of this and get back over in the book of Matthew. I was way over in the Old Testament. I want to read several verses of the scripture. And before I do this, I don't necessarily always go looking for a title. I kindly have a theme, and I kindly work from that and what I believe that God's speaking to my heart. Tonight I want to talk about dressed and ready. Now, if I really wanted to get your attention, I would have said it like this. Keep your clothes on. Well, as Chris said. Well, but I really didn't want to go into that, but you'll understand my reasoning behind that when I read this scripture text. Let me just say it like this as I begin to move forward. If you don't have on the right garments, you're not going in the rapture. Now hang on. We got a ways to go. We got about 2 hours worth of preaching. I'm going to try to squeeze in here in about an hour and a half. So let me just work through this and walk into this message the way I feel like that God put it in my heart. Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king. Commentary, pointed out that this certain king represented God the Father, which made a marriage for his son, represented Jesus himself. Are we not the bride of Christ? Ephesians said that husbands are to love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So in verse number 3, the Bible says, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Now there's a song, Shelby would have to tell me the song, or Terry, some of these that know this. But there's an old Southern gospel song that says, come and dine, the master calleth. And when we think about this, this is where we hear him calling that whosoever will, let him come. He sent forth an invitation. Aren't you glad Jesus died for all? He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Here's the problem. And they would not come. Before I move forward in this message, I believe, again, as I have been preaching this along this line over the last several services, the great tragedy of today is simply this. It's not that God ain't calling. The tragedy is that people are not answering the call. I believe that God has sent preachers and teachers and the Holy Spirit into our world today. And I can verify that by the scripture where the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I don't know how it is in the world today. I don't know how it is in the life of a sinner. But I know for me, when years ago, when I was still lost and undone, there seemed to be just a constant, Brother Aaron Beckner, there seemed to be a constant pecking inside of my heart. I didn't always know what it was. But subconsciously and interconsciously, I knew, Brother Steve, that something was calling me. And I feel the Holy Ghost already. There was something calling me. Maybe in this room tonight, maybe you're not exactly where you need to be, and God is even beckoning upon your heart's door even right now. But we see this in the scripture where the Bible says, he called the servants and he went out in a paraphrase and he called them all to the wedding. But they would not come. I'm not going to turn there right now, but I've read through it, just breezing through it. In another part of the scripture over in the book of Luke, it actually talks about the same thing. But every time the master, every time the servants went forth and beckoned upon them to come to the wedding, you can go there and read it. I don't have time to read it tonight. But there was always an excuse given. I've bought some land. I've married a wife. I've done this or I've done that. And I can't go right now, Lord. Wait till a better time or a more convenient time for me to answer you. And we see this in the scripture, and we can see where the Bible says in verse number 4, I believe it is, and he says, and he sent forth another servant saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Again, I feel the Holy Ghost inside of me right now. And I don't know any other way to describe this except two ways I can describe this in my own heart tonight. I feel, Brother Beckner, as if it was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, a roar, a sounding of the alarm, a sounding of the trumpet, that God is trying to do everything that He possibly can do in the day and the hour that we're living in, to call people, to beckon people, and to get people to come and sound, as Joel says, sound the trumpet, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. But yet in the same regard, I feel that inside of my own heart tonight that Jesus, God the Father on the throne, is weeping. He wept over Jerusalem and he cried for Jerusalem to come to him. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have called thee? How often would I have gathered thee? As a mother hen would have gathered you under my wings, under her wings, if you will. And then he said, but you would not. I know that was the Jew. I understand that. But yet in the same regard today, there is a beckoning call that's in our society today. You look around us today and there seems to be so many people today and how that sin has infiltrated the lives of people. And you say, well, preacher, do you still believe that we need to, as pastors and as teachers, do you think we still need to address sin? I had a friend one time, he's passed on the glory now. He said, I don't ever talk to my people about sin. It's not necessary. I just try to tell my people how to live right. And the other will take care of itself. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't care how saved and sanctified and how Holy Ghost filled you are and how much fire you have in your heart. If you and I are not very careful today, we will lose our edge and sin will creep in the back door. And I promise you that. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We see here in the scripture again where the Bible says, come into the marriage. But they made light of it, went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully, slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth armies and destroyed the murderers and burned up their city. Now again, there's an element of eschatology in this, and there's an element of futuristically speaking of the book of Revelation and those churches that fell into the condemnation, the seven churches of Asia that God spoke with. I believe, and I'm not judge, and I don't want to be judge. I don't want to sound like judge. I don't want to sound like that I'm looking down my nose because I've got enough dust under my own nose and I don't have no right to clean out anybody else's. But I'm afraid today in many churches around America that there's so many that has fallen to the wayside. And I believe with everything within me, if there's ever been a day and an hour where preachers and pastors and teachers need to once again reiterate this right here that God is calling. I mean, we're on the verge, folks, of the rapture. We're on the verge of the coming of the Lord. I heard my mentor, Pastor Ron Dotson, say something one time. Many times I heard him say it. Brother Steve's heard him say it. He said, you play with your dogs and you play with your cats and you play with your boats and you play with your cars, but don't ever play with God. And in our world today, I feel like there are so many today that is doing nothing more than playing with God today. This thing has gotten to a place in my own heart and a place in my own spirit today. I don't want to miss what God has for me. I don't want to miss what God has for this church. I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to miss the last day outpouring of the Holy Ghost. To be preoccupied with the things of the world and be preoccupied with the things that's going on in the world. That I become so carnally minded that I'm no heavenly good. I believe that we can look around us today and I believe again that we can hear the Holy Spirit in the wind. I believe that we can hear the Holy Spirit talking to the church today. And I believe that when we read this scripture, we can see that the effects of what Jesus was saying. Jesus was basically saying in a nutshell, there was those that was abused and shepherds that misabused their sheep and people that misabused God's people. I'll say it right in a few minutes. And then he says here in the scripture, and he says, then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And then he says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to marriage. How many of you know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? If we had to stand before God today because of our unworthiness, my friend, we would stand there naked. We would stand there in our own inabilities before God. And the only thing that we could throw ourselves before God and plead for the mercy of God, if we had to stand before God upon with our own righteousness. And Isaiah reminded us, he said that our righteousness is as our filthy rags. But I love this part because he says, come now and let us reason together. There's ever been a day and a time that I believe that God is speaking to us. I believe that God is speaking to us even now. And he says in verse number 10, he says, so the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, brought bad and good. Hello, somebody. And the wedding was furnished with the guest. Everybody's going to stand before the God Almighty, sheep and goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. Everybody's going to stand before God. White throne judgment, judgment seat, the bema seat of God. So nobody's going to escape that. My God, I feel him in the house. And he says this in verse number 11. As many he found, good and bad, the wedding guest was furnished. And look at this. And then when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man which did not or had not his wedding garment. He didn't have his clothes on. He didn't have on the right garment. He had not prepared himself properly for the presence of the Lord. And I ain't here to judge nobody, and I'm not here to determine who's right and who's wrong and who's ready and who ain't ready. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're not ready, you're not going. If you don't have on the right garment, you're not going to into heaven. I can tell you that right now. If you don't have on the garment of salvation, you're not going to get there. I don't care how good you've done. I don't care how many church pews you sat on. I don't care how many songs you sung. I don't care how many prayers you prayed. If your heart's not right with God, this man was there. But the Bible explicitly tells us that he was not prepared for what was in front of him. He was not invited into the wedding. But Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus looked and he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. My God, have mercy. Oh, Jesus. Help us to be ready at all costs. Y'all are quiet on me. At all costs tonight, let us be ready. And then the Bible again, he says here in the scripture in verse number 12, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He had nothing to offer to God. He was not prepared. Now, I don't know about you, but inside of my heart right now, that is a sad thing for the world, Brother Steve, to know that our world today, the United States of America, has heard more gospel, most likely than any other nation of the world. The United States of America has had multimedia for years when other parts of the world did not have it. I had a cell phone years ago. I went to Peru years and years ago. My cell phone wouldn't work. We were still buying telephone calling cards because the world had not caught up with the technology of the day. You and I in America today, we've had technology for years and we've had all kinds of opportunities to hear the gospel. So when we look at this, he says that, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he stood there speechless. I said this on Wednesday night, and I'm going to say it again tonight. And I'm not trying to make an indictment against nobody. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying in any way, shape, form, or fashion to be judgmental. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned for the simple fact that even people that attend this church on a regular basis, one time a week, friend, I might see their face one time a week. And they say, well, we've got to have family time. God gave you six other days for family time. Think about it. And I think about this, and I'm not trying to be ugly, judgmental. I'm not trying to throw stones. But if we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, basically in a nutshell, that's about 3 to 6 hours a week for the most part. He stood before God and he stood there naked, speechless, not able to give an excuse for his condition. When I began to think about this, I thought about how that throughout the scripture, the Bible teaches us that we're to be clothed. Now, I'm not a clothesline preacher. I'm not one of these that beats and bangs and one that harps on things like that, even though there are times that I believe that we need to do better in that area. Come on, somebody. That's not even what I'm talking about tonight. Because I believe this firmly with everything within me, because I believe if the inside gets right, the outside's going to get right. Come on, somebody. But here's the thing that I begin to think about when I begin to think about those that came into the presence of God. Clothing. And again, this is not about harping on clothing. That is not what I'm harping on. I'm just walking through something tonight. But if you think about how that God dealt with the priest in the Old Testament. In Exodus 28, we're not going to go there and read all of that. It's pretty lengthy. But before the priest ever was able to come into the presence of God, there was a requirement upon them that they dressed exactly how God told them. And again, when you go there in Exodus 28, when you got the time to do that, it was a time that they had to put on their sacred garment. It was a time that the world knew and the world identified them as the priest. It was a time for them to do their priestly responsibilities, and it was a time for the priest to represent God in dignity and in honor. And again, this is not a clothesline message. It is not that at all. I'm talking about the internal part of you. I'm talking about the internal part of you that nobody but the people, but you yourself and not the people in this room can see. That your heart is made ready and your heart is prepared before God. I begin to think about being clothed. The priest had to be clothed. Again, Exodus 28, you can go back there and read that whole chapter sometime, more than I could get into tonight. But I also thought about the fact that when Jesus dealt with those in the scripture in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Just a few verses of scripture. I'm not going to take the time to read all of that. But picking it up in verse number 15, it's where Jesus had encountered this demon-possessed man. And he asked, "What is your name?" Our name is Legion, for we are many. And when Jesus cast this devil out of this man, and when the devil went out of this man, when the scripture reminds us of how that when Jesus came to them and they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and it had the legion sitting, he was clothed. There's something about that in my mind that speaks to my heart. Watch this. I believe it speaks to a readiness. I believe it speaks to a readiness, if you will, and a preparedness, if you will. He had been delivered from the devil. And the Bible said there in the scripture, they seen him sitting there. Not only was he clothed, he had his clothes on, because before that he was naked and he went through the tombs and he cut himself and he screamed and he hollered and he is a wild man. There's something about it when Jesus comes into our heart. Amen. Jesus knows how to clean you up. Amen. Jesus knows how to do a right thing in your heart today to prepare you for the marriage supper. Amen. But it was clothing in his right mind, and all the people was afraid. Verse number 16 goes on to say this. And he said, "And they that saw it told them how he befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." 17. And the Bible says, "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." They basically said, "Jesus, get out of here, because we don't want you here no more." It's amazing how you start talking about the things I'm talking about this evening. I mean, it makes devils howl and devils growl, and it upsets the devil. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The only those that's ready is going to go in the rapture. Only those that's made their calling and election sure. Can I tell you, the Bible says again in Isaiah chapter number 61 and verse number 10. That you and I, we're to be clothed with righteousness. Not our righteousness, but His righteousness. There's a difference when Jesus comes in. There's a difference when God comes in. And he says in the word, and this it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall rejoice in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has clothed me. I have prepared myself for the days ahead. Come on, somebody. Oh, even so, come quickly. Lord Jesus, I have prepared my soul. I have prepared my life. I am ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'm wearing that cloak of righteousness, my friend. Again, not my righteousness, but his righteousness. And he says that he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. And this is where I'm telling you again, we don't need to walk around naked. Come on, somebody. We need to keep our clothes on. We need to be ready at any moment, at any time. We don't need to be unprepared. We don't need to be without our wedding garment. We don't need to be unprepared for the coming of the Lord, but we need to be prepared. And he says here, and he says, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. I don't know how that makes you feel tonight, but my friend, he's given me the robe. He has clothed me. He's put on me the robe of righteousness this evening. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorned herself with her jewels. What are you saying, friend? I've got a king, and he's coming for a bride, and I don't want to be left unprepared. I want to be ready, hallelujah, because I believe that he's coming back for a people that is ready and looking unto him. I believe that. I believe that. And again, the Bible reminds us not only with the priest, not only with that one that was demon possessed, not only to be clothed with righteousness, but the Bible reminds you and I in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 4. And this is what he says. Romans 13 and 4, he reminds us again to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reminder again when we look at the scripture. And he says, for he is the minister of God to the good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. I don't even know how that scripture got up there, but it ain't the one I wanted. It ain't her fault, it's my fault. What is that, 13 and 4? Maybe it's 15. I don't know. Don't worry about it. I can tell you what it says. The Bible says to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in the scripture, and he says, and make no provision for the flesh. Woo! When you look at that scripture again, I'm gonna see here for just a second how I wrote that down wrong. That's my fault, not theirs. I don't want to pick on those girls upstairs. They do a really good job. But anyway, we'll look at this at another time. But he says there in the scripture, and I don't know how I wrote that down wrong, but he said to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. Wear the Lord like a cloak. Wear the Lord like a garment. I hope I got this scripture right, this next scripture. I hope I did. I'm pretty sure I did, but I hope I did. Luke 24 and 49, look at this. When you look at that in the scripture, Luke 24 and 49, this is what he says. Is when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified and Jesus was going back to the Father. He said, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from upon high. Now, Brother Everhart knows this. He studied this probably a lot more than me, but he knows it. Endued means to what? To be clothed upon. Endued means to be clothed upon. In other words, again, to remind you, he says to put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that we are to be endued with power from on high. And the Bible said that we need to be robed with power. Can I tell you tonight that is the only way that I believe that we're going to get out of this thing, my friend, is by being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Not take the Holy Ghost on a Sunday, and when you leave church on a Sunday night, lay him down. around. Oh, but everywhere you go, everywhere I go, everywhere we go throughout the week, that the Holy Ghost is with me. Hey, I'll go ahead and say this. If you go somewhere and the Holy Ghost can't go with you, you don't need to be going there. Amen. Because we need to be clothed with righteousness. My God, we need to put Him on tonight. To be clothed upon. You say, well, preacher, how about this? How about this? What about those in our world today that's lost? What about those that's backslidden? What about those that is away from God? We see it every day. Sherry and I talk about it every day of the week, probably. Not only just with family members, but other people, other situations that we deal with. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but I'm so glad that when I was lost, thank God I never backslid. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Once I fell in love with Jesus, I never found anything else I ever wanted to go back to. Somebody say amen. But for those of you that's in this room and you've backslid at some time in your life, and you've walked away from God at some time in your life, God needs to be praised for not ever giving up on you. We look in the scripture in Luke 15, and I hope I got this one right. Because we see here, because there's a story in Luke 15, this young man went into the far country of sin. He said, hey, daddy, hey, fat daddy, give it to me right here. I got things to do and places to go. And his daddy gave him his portion of goods. He went out and he wasted his life. He blowed all of his money running around with whatever all he was running around with. Ended up somewhere down the road, a month or two later down the road, and he was eaten out of a pig's pen. He said, my God, have mercy. What in the world am I doing here eating with these pigs? I believe his memory went back to the goodness of the Father's house, and he looked at all the hors d'oeuvres and all the foods and everything that was on the Father's table. He said, hey, I'm eating corn husk with the pigs. I'm going back to my daddy's house. Amen. And there are people, my friend, all around you that used to know God, that used to love God, and now they're eating out of the pig pen. Hey, guess what, friend? All they got to do, Brother Steve, is to come back to Him. Hallelujah. And when they come back in a true heart of repentance, look at this. And behold, nothing, the wrong one. In the book of Luke, there we go. And he went and he joined himself himself to the citizens, and he went and ate the pigs, swine. And then look at this. In verse number 22, turn there, Jan, real quick. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He said, bring me the robe and the crown. Hallelujah. Bring me the robe. That was lost has now come home. My friend, I don't know how that makes you feel today, but thank God when we come home. He robed us. He clothed us. Keep your clothes on tonight. Keep yourself ready. Oh my God, keep yourself ready. A few more scriptures for my introduction. Y'all thought a few more scriptures till I was done. No, introduction. Page 1 and 2. So what do we do, preacher? What do we do? We got to understand something very, very, very important. Whew, I'd run around the building if I didn't have to run back. There's a timing in this thing. There's a timing in it. But somebody said, well, I've got 20 more years. You don't know that. We don't know if we're going to walk out of this building and not never have the opportunity to come back into it. I don't mean to be ugly. I don't mean to be brutal. I don't mean to be unsensitive or insensitive. But over 13 years, friend, it grieves my heart too. It hurts my heart too. It's to know that there have been people that sat in these pews that came for their last time. And they're in glory now. They're no longer here. So none of us know if this is our last time in God's house or not. So when we think about the timing of being prepared, the timing of being ready, the Bible says in the scripture, when we look at this, and it's in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. I just want to share it with you really, really fast. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul reminds us of the readiness or the importance of having a readiness about us. Our text that we read to you read of a man that was not ready. He was unprepared for the marriage supper. He was unprepared for the banquet, the wedding banquet. Maybe not in this room, but maybe somebody listening online that accidentally will come across this at some point in their life. Maybe something I say tonight will spark their heart. And that they will hear me say, you better get your heart right with God. You better be ready. You may not have time to repent tomorrow. You need to get ready today. You need to keep your heart right. And that's from the pulpit to the pew. And that was from the side door to the back door to the front door. We've all got to keep our garments ready. The Bible's coming back for church without spot or blemish or any such thing. Those that's clothed in righteousness. Again, when you look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, Paul mentions this. Paul mentions this because he says there, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in a day of salvation have I secured thee. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When the king called the supper and sent it out to all the people, come to the son's wedding. There was those and some that refused to come, those that didn't want to come, those that were preoccupied and those that chose to do other things. Well, preacher, I know how it is. I mean, my dad and people used to tell me years ago, I'll get right with God when I'm good and ready to get right with God. And until then, don't mention it again. You've heard people. I don't want to talk about it. You know, in hell, another message for another time. Brother Hunt, it amazes me that just a few lines down from where he was faring sumptuously every day, I could run. Just a few lines down, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he said, hey, Lazarus, call for Father Abraham. Let somebody go and warn my brothers and somebody get a drip of water and put on my tongue because he wanted to talk about it then, didn't he? He wanted to talk about it then, didn't he? I remember Sybil. Anybody remember Sybil Beal? I know a lot of you do. Sybil jerked my coat every now and then. She's a little bitty short thing. Many of you know her. Oh, right there, sat right there, her and Ed. Said, son, you may be up there. She said, son, this is what you do today. She'd call me on Saturday sometimes. She said, you tell them. You tell them like it is. That's Sybil. Little rooster, man. She's a little banty hen. For those of you that knew her, about that tall. She said, you go in there and you tell them heaven's sweet. You tell them how sweet heaven is, but you tell them hell's hot. And you tell them that eternity's long. Every time, Charlotte, you tell them. And I'm under the unction tonight to whoever's listening, wherever they're listening. May not be anybody in this room. I have no idea. Had a buddy the other day called, left a message on my phone in Jackson County, North Carolina. He said, man, I listen to every message you preach. And the message I preached Wednesday night, he called me and said, it might not have been for anybody there, but it was for me. And I appreciate every word you said. It ministered to me. I don't know where this thing's going. I have no idea where it's going. But he says, right now, I have heard thee in a time accepted. The time, when you look at that in the Greek, the time right there, it's just what it is it's a space. It's a space in time. It's a space of time. Not 12 after 7 or whatever it is. I got 12, that's 11, and that's 10. I don't know where we're at, but close enough. But this word time, now is the accepted time. I've heard the unaccepted time. And Jody, you can come. I'm not going to get done with this anyway. I told you it's 2 hours. Accepted time, again, when you look at this, time is not necessarily a moment on the clock. Not just a succession of moments, but an opportunity in which God has given us. An opportunity by which God has given us. Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, now is the accepted time. Accepted means when you begin to look at the word accepted, it actually is the definition of there. If you look at that in the Greek, it means to accept. It means favorable decision of the will. It's when you make a decision of your will. This is the time. This is the right time. It is a time for you to make a decision of your will to follow God. And then he says that it's the day, an accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Commentary talked about that and it said it's a time of day. And this is what my thinking was on that, because it's a time to get out of the darkness. It's a spiritual state, a day of salvation. It talks about deliverance and preservation. And it also talks about the second coming of the Lord. When we think about today, we think about today in the church building is a time and a space set aside for you. May not be a certain time of convenience, but it's a time necessary for the accomplishments of the task that needs to take place. When we begin to think about this real fast, real fast. My goodness gracious. I told you it was 2 hours. I wasn't kidding. Invitation was given in the scripture text. Watch this. There was an urgency to respond when the invitation was given. God requires a response. What will you do with Jesus today? If you go into, I'm just going to tell you where it's at. You can go read it later, write it down. Ephesians 5, 14 through 20. He talks about, when you look at that Paul says it is time to awake. It's time to come out of your slumber. Now is the day of salvation, he says, while opportunity is given. I mentioned this morning really fast. Again, I'm not going to take the time to read it. But there are several scriptures that I mentioned this morning vaguely. When Noah was 600 years old, 600 years old, Noah built an ark. There come a day, Brother Everhart, where you know this as well as I do in Scripture. What'd you tell me, 91-year-old? But there came a time, the Bible says, and the door was shut. It also says that Noah found grace in the sight of God. But they preached to the wickedness of the day. It was very vile and it was very wicked. Go back and read it. There come a time the door was shut. Opportunity had left. Urgency. And again, the way my little old brain works, Brother Beckner, there's a 911 call going off in glory right now. Because there's grandchildren and children and people you know and people I know, sons and daughters, that's not rapture ready. Couldn't help but after I read the scripture to think, and Brother Terry can tell you more about this in eschatology and prophetic meanings as far as the book of Matthew chapter 25, the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The foolish ask of the wise, give us some of your oil. I can't give you salvation. I can't give you preparedness. You have to do that for yourself. But you know, while they tarried, the bridegroom came. They were left behind. And the Bible says, even there in the scripture, in Matthew 25, that the door was shut. God help us. Help our children. Help our loved ones. I got 4 grandchildren, 3 boys and a girl. And I pray, God, help my babies. Help my grown children. But these little ones, I know right now they're under the age of accountability, but God, help them today as they grow to know you. Help them grow to know you, Lord. But when we look at this with the 10 virgins, not only was there an urgency of opportunity, second thing I was going to get to, I'm about done, don't get nervous, is there were so many distractions. Not only opportunity, but I looked at it as distractions, obstructions, reasons, excuses. Can I just absolutely just blow your mind right here? Y'all ready for this? There will really never ever be a convenient time to serve God. Because there's always going to be work. There's always going to be jobs. There's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be detours. There's always going to be things that we have to work around. But while you're working around, while you're doing the things you're doing, don't push God to the outside. Read your Bible. Do your devotion. Do your study. Do your praying. Sometimes, and I'm not kidding. 80% or 70% of every message I ever preach, Brother Tim comes to me between 3 and 5 a.m. of the morning, normally out of a sleep. I love you, Brother West. Normally out of a sleep, God will have a nugget. God will put something on my mind, and it's from that I work it through the week. Through the week, and God helps me. Last thing, don't let those distractions keep you back. Land, jobs, all those things. Be ready for heaven. What happens to those that were not ready? What about those that didn't keep their clothes on? What about those that wasn't prepared? What about those that weren't ready? The Bible very explicitly tells us. Then he said, verse 12, Matthew 22, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou hither, not having a wedding garment? He was speechless. And he said to the king, then said the king to the servants, bind him. Well, God's a good God. God will never do nothing like that. God's not going to send anybody to hell. He had opportunity. He was given opportunity. His opportunity was missed because of his rejection to come to the wedding. Don't blame God. Don't be narcissistic toward God. Don't blame God. God's done everything he can do to get you into heaven. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your cats and your dogs and all your other things that you do. Blame yourself. Get your heart right while you have the opportunity. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. What a sad portrait this is. Don't let him in. Have you ever really just thought about that? God saying, I can't let you in, because the only way you get in, Jesus said, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get in by rejecting the Son. But we did this, we done that, don't matter. We sing the old song, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. No other fount I know that can wash me. You got to know him. Then he says here in the scripture, he said, take him away. That's a sad scenario right there. Take him away. Take her away. Don't let him in. Had every opportunity. Heard the preacher preach. Heard the choir sing. Heard the witnesses come to knock on your door, whoever, whatever. Giving you multiple opportunities. No, not today. At a later time, maybe. Maybe try again next week. Take him away. Are your hearts right tonight? If you had to stand, or if I had to stand before God tonight, before I even got home, I lost my life on my way home in a car wreck. As horrible as that would be, Patricia, if my heart's right with God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Don't weep over me if I'm going home to glory. My God, have mercy. Shout. He made it home. Shout. Don't cry. Shout. My God. Shout. But the sad thing is there's so many that you know and I know that's not right with God. I've delivered my heart. I've delivered my heart. I fight the devil like you do every day that I suck air. I fight the devil just like you do. Brother Hunt, I'm determined to make it to heaven. I'm determined. Are you determined? If you are, stand with me. I'm determined. This scripture says, take and cast them into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have no intention of missing heaven. Bow your heads with me if you will. Father, I thank you, God, for this time that you've given me to deliver my heart tonight. God, to deliver this word. Father, you said in your word that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. And the things, God, that's been done here tonight, God, is only by the Spirit. And Father, I pray, God, that you would take this message and use it on the airways, use it, God, however you so see fit to use it. God, if there's one in this room tonight, God, that might be backslid, one in the room tonight might not be saved. God, I pray that they find their way to salvation before it's everlasting too late. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You say, preacher, I ain't where I need to be with God. Pray for me. I'm not going to do nothing to nobody. I'm just going to pray for you. Just throw your hand up in the air and say, preacher, I'm not right with God. I need prayer. Anyone in the room? Anyone in the room? Maybe you're in the room and your heart's away from God. Maybe you've drifted. And you would say tonight, pastor, because of this message, I've made a brand new commitment to God to follow him. If that's you in the room tonight, anyone at all, I've made a brand new commitment to follow him. Anyone at all? Thank God for his grace, because he keeps us every day by his grace. Amen. I'm going to say this and I'm done. The greatest portrait of grace was the experience that I learned with my own daddy. I seen it. I watched it happen. I got a son that I pray for, my daughter, my children, your children. You got lost loved ones somewhere. I'm reminded. I got friends around me that remind me it's not too late. Don't give up. And I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there wouldn't be a one of us standing here tonight. It's his grace. Amen. Well, I guess that's it. The music quit. I guess.